Good morning, everyone. Thursday, May 28th, my guest today, the mayor of Quincy, Illinois. This Mary Griffith Show, as all Mary Griffith shows, brought to you by Hillbean Auto Body. Remember, if it happens to you, take it to Hillbean. Hillbean Auto Body, one of the great family-owned businesses in our community. And we say good morning to Mayor Kyle Moore. Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning, Mary. It's good to hear your voice.
Yes, I wish we could be together in person, but this too shall pass. Let's get right into it. Some people are a little bit confused about the dining guidelines. Mm-hmm. As I understand it, it doesn't matter how big your restaurant is, you still can't have anybody come inside, even if they could keep the table 6 feet apart. It's all outdoors.
Yes, that's correct. So the state of Illinois, made the announcement last week that they were going to allow outdoor service, for bars and restaurants. And that outdoor service, had to be either outdoors or under a tent. And so it doesn't matter if you have a, large facility indoors and can remove a lot of tables, it has to be outdoors. And now we advocated to the governor to allow our bars and restaurants to open indoor at limited capacities, but he wanted to take the first step of being outdoors. And so, we released guidelines for our bars and restaurants and had the council vote on them on Tuesday. And many of the bars and restaurants, I think, are anxious to, get started again, to be able to welcome customers and see them face to face, and just have some semblance of normalcy, even though we can't dine with them indoors.
Well, again, it's the Mary Griffith Show, so I can give my opinion. How stupid. I mean, there are plenty of places that are really, really big, and they could accommodate people inside. But okay, this is it. We're at the point, we've almost on our knees, and we're begging. Little thing they throw us, we have to go along with, don't we?
Well, yeah, and I think this is the problem with the one-size-fits-all approach to reopening, and I think you're seeing it, across the nation where governors have really failed to implement local solutions to, the COVID-19 solutions. And, one of the things that doesn't make any sense to me is why would we allow people to be able to shop in retail stores, but people aren't able to go to church? And, we have some very big church facilities. We have some small church facilities. But right now, on Friday, retail stores can have 5 customers for every 1,000 feet. It seems to me you can have 5 congregants for every 1,000 feet, and it would mean the same thing, So I think that, I agree with the governor on his phased-in approach, but I think there's definitely some tweaks that need to be made, and we continue to advocate for those.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, you cannot deny that you and our Adams County Board Chairman and many, our local representatives, you've all tried to go to bat. You've done the best you can. And I think the signs around town, what people think of Governor Pritzker say it all for Western Illinois. People are not happy, but we're getting back with outdoor seating. Now, how dense can that seating be, though? And you're going to allow people to spill over. If my neighbor says, hey, use my sidewalk, too, because, you can put chairs out in front of my sidewalk. Or if there's a public parking lot, people can spill out over there. They've got to keep the tables, limit 6 per table and 6 feet apart all the way around, right?
That's correct. So, we're trying to accommodate, as many special requests as we can. And so we want to be able to say that, if you have a smaller footprint, if you're a business that's maybe downtown and you only have, a certain amount of feet, from your property, you can ask your neighbors if you can, sit out in front of them. The tables do have to be 6 feet apart, table edge to table edge. But other than that, as long as you get permission from your neighboring properties, or if you want to use a public parking lot, we're even accommodating public street closures. If you make the proper request and go through the council, that we're going to allow that. We want to make sure that, every business, every establishment has the, biggest footprint that they can have under these difficult times.
Well, I think it's going to be, fantastic. I mean, I'm not a big fan of dining outdoors, but if the weather's nice, okay. But it will be nice. I think you'll see downtown the way some people envisioned downtown years ago. We'd kind of close off the streets. It'd be more a pedestrian mall, and you'd have, just like in Europe, all of your cafes, all of your businesses would have something outdoors, and there would be common areas where you could go and, you know, have, I know like in Germany, you know, you just order from a restaurant. There might be six restaurants on the square. They'll just come out and bring it to whatever table you sit at. So there could be some very interesting ideas come forward with restaurants working together to have a combined space where people could pick and choose, you know, what they want to order. So we'll just see how that happens. We'll go along with that. I know that the restaurant owners and bar owners are not completely satisfied with this, but I'm sure they're also happy to be able to get back in some semblance of service. When do you think we'll be able to go and sit down inside a restaurant? Is that July, or what does that mean?
You know, at this stage, if we continue to have the low disease burden that we have in our region, it would be June the 27th, I believe, is the date, so the, you know, the week before July 4th. Which is, you know, it's a 28-day window. We've asked the governor to implement a 14-day window through phases, as many states like New York and Pennsylvania have done. But unfortunately, he has not modified his plan to do that. So if it continues to be a 28-day window, it'll be the last week of June before we can have indoors. And I would imagine that, you know, there's going to be many of the same precautions that the restaurants will have to, you know, undertake, which would be to make sure that their employees have, you know, masks, and that their menus be disposable and tables be spread apart. So, you know, if you walk into, you know, the Abbey or the Tower, there probably sits, you know, folks every other table and things like that to start. So, you know, it's not going to be an immediate, you know, turn on the light switch and everything will be crowded again. But certainly, you know, that's the direction we hope the governor goes, especially, you know, as the weather gets warmer, people, you know, like you said, they're not going to want to dine outdoors if it's really hot outside.
Well, we'll just take what we can get, I guess, at this moment, and pray for the best. It still is very frustrating. I will publicly admit, and I did so already, on Memorial Day, my husband and I got a little stir crazy. So we went to Canton, Missouri, and ate at the Saints Avenue Cafe. Now, they had indoor social distancing. You were nowhere near anybody while you were sitting, but the waitresses did not have on masks. There was an open buffet that anybody could walk up to. It's so ironic that, you know, just across the river, a 10-minute drive away, such a different experience. And I do still feel guilty about spending money over there because I'm trying to be loyal to my Illinois businesses. But it seems so grossly unfair that right across the river something can be happening when here our viral load is low. But there again, you can't control that, and you've done your best. Let's talk a little bit about the sales tax delay. Of all times when we need money, why would you delay collecting the sales tax now? If people are actually going to bars and restaurants, why wouldn't the city want to gather that money?
Well, a couple things. So when we passed the sales tax is only the food and beverage sales tax that was supposed to be implemented on May the 1st. And as you know, that it was really, you know, not the correct time to do that as you know, businesses were under lockdown and not able to open. The other thing is that, the tax that the revenue that we're collecting is for economic growth and development. Certainly that's going to be an important thing, but we cannot use that money for general fund, as was a wish, that the restaurant owners had. What really this comes down to is proper training and proper implementation. You know, we had wanted to do and still want to do a large amount of training where, you know, we have trainings maybe on a Saturday morning, maybe on a Sunday or Monday afternoon and a Monday night. So we have, you know, many opportunities for restaurant and bar owners to participate in training. That way they know the proper way that they can fill out the forms and, you know, collect from the consumer the one penny for every dollar they spend tax on that. So it was more about proper implementation and also making sure that, you know, these restaurant and bar owners have enough on their plate right now. We want to make sure that we're mindful of that and give them time to work into the system.
Yeah, wise decision, because they've, like you said, they're overwhelmed right now just trying to figure out this new reopening, and to have to worry about collecting a penny sales tax would be, you know, it's not beyond their ability, but why not just delay it? It's too bad. We need the money desperately, but I guess we'll hold off. Now, Mayor Moore, you've been nice enough to come on, and I want to absolutely follow whatever agenda you'd like to tell people about. This is the time we usually have Quincy next on talking about the future of Quincy. So mm-hmm. I do want to talk about the census at some point, but I want to let you, get your in. Where are we right now with firefighters, police officers, and other city employees when it comes to tightening the belt? Mm-hmm. Because personnel costs are such a big part of what the city of Quincy does. What's the latest on union negotiations?
Sure. So we're kind of doing this in quarters. So our fiscal year starts May 1 and goes through the end of April. We won't actually start seeing the real revenue hits of the COVID-19 until the month of July. So we're really using this first quarter to tighten our belts. We have a hiring freeze, and any expenditure over $500 has to be reviewed by the Director of Administrative Services. But all of our non-union employees took essentially a salary freeze. We're still in negotiations with the fire department. Our Quincy Police Department negotiated with me a delay in a sick day buyback. So it's I won't get into it, but it's essentially a bonus they have if they don't use their sick days to the end of October to help with cash flow and to keep the three officers that we hired employed. And the machinist union, we gave them the opportunity to take a salary freeze, and unfortunately they voted not to do that. So we had three individuals that were affected. Two were reassigned to other positions within the city, and one unfortunately has been furloughed. But we're hopeful that as we begin to get revenue, real revenue numbers in, that our unions are going to be able to work with us. We see it across the country where, cities across America are furloughing a large percentage of their workforce, whether it be 10% or 25%. We don't want that to happen here. However, we know that if we have a 10 or 15% hit on revenue, we're not going to be able to balance our budget. We're not going to be able to, pay our bills without it affecting personnel. And so we're very hopeful that each union is going to work with us. And so far they've been at least willing to do that. Most of them have.
At least it's a wait and see kind of attitude. And of course, the firefighters are working without a contract, so they're still covered by their expired contract. The library went back into limited operation yesterday. The library, as you know, I'm a big advocate for the library, but it's not police and firefighting. I wouldn't put it above that for sure. How is something like the library, are they going to be faced with, are they going to be on the first line for any cuts that are made?
Well, I think that for the library, they are funded through the state's personal property replacement tax, which is and also city subsidy that we get through sales tax and other revenue. But just the property tax is going to be down 30% is what is estimated right now. So I certainly think that the library is prepared to, most likely have to offer reduced hours or services. But I also think that, Kathleen at the library does a good job of managing the immediate needs of the library customers. So for an example, we're very happy that they offer to open their doors starting next Monday to individuals who need to use a computer to either file for unemployment or to look for a job and things like that. And I think that's a need that we have in our community, especially on the south side of town. So I think we're going to continue to work with them, but certainly I think every entity that gets funding from the state or from the city, even the county, I think we're going to have to look at, save for another CARES Act, which would be a bailout for cities and states. We're going to see reduction in services.
Well, it's kind of like you said, they kind of know what's ahead of them with this 30% loss in personal property replacement tax. Nobody is happy, and certainly this is a very trying time to be the mayor of Quincy. It's bad enough when we have a flood. Who would have thought this pandemic? At least the flood, you kind of know it's coming, and you can look at the rain forecast and know it's going to end. This thing, you just really don't know still what the end will be, and so there's a strangeness about that. The Quincy Police Department's getting ready to move over to the new jail building, which will now house the Adams County Sheriff's Department, the Quincy Police Department, and, of course, the jail facility. We call it the jail facility, but it's more than that. It's also an office and law enforcement complex. What nothing's going to delay that move by Quincy Police, is it?
No, no. So we've been waiting for the jail to be operational because one of the reasons why we wanted to move in with Adams County is we had a double booking. So if the officer needed to book somebody, they had to go to QPD and then rebook them at Adams County. So it didn't make sense for us to move if the jail wasn't operational and still have double booking procedures. So that's why we've had to wait. But nothing's going to delay that, and we should be moving in here in a couple weeks.
And what then happens to the space that is formerly used by the police department in City Hall?
That's a great question. So we've last year the City Hall Committee, which is essentially our Buildings and Ground Committee, hired a engineer and architect to kind of reimagine our office space here. And I think you're going to start seeing, you know, some preliminary plans. I don't know if we're going to really have the money for anything big, but you know, eventually we'd like to get everybody that's in the annex here, and that's where planning and development is, and that's where the township is, that the bank building. We'd like to get everybody in under one building here, but whether or not we're going to be able to do that in the near future is, you know, with all the financial constraints that we have, I'm not sure if we're going to be able to do that right away.
Yeah, the idea, you know, now would be the ideal time, but now, of course, you don't have the money. Do you own that annex building or do you rent that?
No, we own it.
Would that go up for sale?
Most likely, and I think that's what people want to do is to say, you know, that could be turned back into. And now people can still lease the bank space from us. So if there's a you know, entrepreneur out there who's looking for an office space, we'll certainly hear anything. So we do own it, and we have leased it to private business before.
One thing that I know has been very important to the city of Quincy's long-range plans, Quincy Next and moving on in the future, is these market-grade apartments that are being built above a lot of the businesses downtown. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in a way, a lot of restaurants and a lot of places have taken this, quote, time off to remodel and to do some new business. Have you seen a slowdown? I mean, people still need a place to live. Have you seen any kind of slowdown in the efforts to revitalize the housing market downtown? Has that been impacted by COVID-19?
No, not really right now. I mean, we see with the old Taylor's building, the work that DP Construction is doing on that they're about ready to have open, I think, 4 apartments. And, you know, they took that facade and really made it something special again. And we have another round of the downtown rental rehab program starting later on this year. So I think it's going to be still something that's utilized. And I think, you know, if you're talking about the future and Quincy's future, is that I think you're going to start seeing more young people want to move back to the city or stay in the city, you know, not be in such dense areas, and having the ability to live and work downtown and to be able to walk to the restaurants and entertainment that you want to go to is going to be a plus. So I think now more than ever those apartments are going to be utilized.
There's another interesting aspect of working at home, business at home. Do you predict that there will be more people who are continuing to work at home even though their business may be reopened? In other words, some folks really like working from home. That could also cause people to want to move into the city of Quincy, into our central area, have a wonderful loft space that's a beautiful living space and a workspace. Are we going to see retail office space rentals take a hit?
Yeah, well, I think retail, we've done pretty well downtown of offering a boutique experience, and that's what people certainly are gravitating towards, and I think that's going to be, even now, I think people are going to want more of that because it's going to be smaller settings and more intimate settings and not, you know, in such a big crowd. But I do think there's a heck of an opportunity for us to market ourselves to people who can work from home in larger cities and lean on the low cost of living that we have in the city of Quincy. And I know that, you know, a lot of people are feeling down about the COVID-19, you know, virus and the impact that it's had. And it's certainly been devastating to our business owners. You know, many people have been ill with it and we get that. But I also think it's an opportunity that if we do this right, we can come out of this stronger by focusing in on what the city of Quincy can look like in the future. Be innovative, think outside the box, because now everybody's essentially starting with a blank page. Every city is going to have the opportunity to think what they want their city to look like under this new reality. And I know that we have great minds in the city of Quincy that can come up with an Adams County framework to reopen, that can come up with a Quincy Next strategic plan. And when we get together and say, okay, now that this is going to be the new reality, what do we want it to look like? I tell you what, I think we paint a beautiful picture here in Quincy, so I think it's going to be something that we're going to come out stronger for it.
We're talking with Mayor Kyle Moore. Mr. Mayor, if you would hang on the line, we've got to take a break for crass commercialism, as Rush would always say. Well, down on the corner and out in the street will be dining al fresco in Quincy and Adams County and throughout Illinois as they have reopened for outdoor dining starting tomorrow. Outdoor seating only, densities, keeping that 6-foot distance, and hopefully in 4 weeks, we'll be able to go inside some of our great restaurants. My guest today is Mayor Kyle Moore. And, you know, again, you can concentrate on the glass being half empty, but I like your attitude, Mayor Moore. Let's talk about it being half full. And one of the great things that came about as we talk about revitalizing our downtown, a $1.5 million grant from the Illinois Arts Council for the History Museum at 4th and Main. This beautiful building that sits right across from WT80 Radio has been a part of our downtown Quincy landscape since 1888. They're going to make it handicap accessible, put an elevator in. They're going to hopefully build an outdoor space, expanding that. We already get a lot of tourists, especially Mormons, that come to Quincy. This is just one more way we can mine that tourist economy.
Yeah, kudos to Laura with the Society of Fine Arts and everybody who worked so hard to advocate for that grant. You know, it was a big barrier not having the elevator in there, and I think it's just going to help make that corner a bigger attraction, and I think it's going to be just fantastic for the museum.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that happening. One of the things I do want to talk to you about, and again, jump in if you've got something on your agenda, but census. The initial figures came out, and Mayor Moore, we've dropped below 40,000 people. Your hopes to get 45,000 people by 2030, we have now dropped below 40,000 people in the city of Quincy. This does not bode well. Of course, the census has been interrupted. Are you hopeful that there are so many people that haven't answered yet that we could still somehow be above our $40,000 mark?
Yeah, well, the 2019 or 2018 estimates, I don't know which one it was, are just that, estimates, and they're based on that America's, survey, which is a long survey, and of course fewer and fewer people are filling out because they just don't want to take the time. What we hope is, because the census is such a short survey, it literally will take you 5 to 10 minutes. You could do it online, by just typing in your address, that, more people will participate in that, and that will help our numbers. Do I think that we're magically going to see us to 41,000? No. But I don't really think that we've lost all that much population over the last 10 years. But certainly we know that we do have to concentrate on growth. We have to concentrate on growing our population, because if we continue to lose population, that makes the tax burden that much heavier for everybody in our community.
Possibly the only thing that is the great equalizer is that this pandemic has hit everyone. Again, Missouri and Iowa are reacting to it differently than Illinois, but in general, across the United States, everyone has been affected. So Quincy is not at a severe disadvantage, compared to other towns. In fact, you're going to see some people want to come to a small town.
That's it, and you're also going to see, college students want to stay closer to home, and I think that's something that we're going to see, people that, some of our students that would typically go further away to school want to be a little bit closer to home, and I think that's where we can really leverage that and see an increase in population. And so, cities like Macomb or Bloomington or Carbondale are going to have, probably be harder hit by this than we are, just because they rely so much on their student population for their census count.
Of course, the budget passed by the state of Illinois is really, it's almost a I mean, it's really not a budget. It's just a guess. But Western Illinois University came out great. The interim president said he couldn't believe how much money was put in the budget for Western Illinois. So that's our closest, you know, big state government college. And it looks like they're faring very well as far as still moving forward with some of their science and theater things. John Wood has announced that for folks going to become seniors this fall and those going to become juniors this fall, they're reducing tuition. So high school kids can get a start on their college education. Now that children are used to taking classes online, it could be a boon for John Wood Community College.
You know, it certainly could. And I think that, you know, I think they're well positioned to do that. And then I think that if they start in at John Wood, there's an easy track to go to QU. That's what I did when I was in school. So I think those two working together are really going to, you know, help us leverage, you know, leverage the power of those two schools and to help keep people here. I also know that, you know, that getting back to that state budget, you know, that state budget is very much a wish and a prayer. And, you know, we know that, you know, they're relying on a bailout from, the federal government. And certainly, you know, we here at the local level, realize that, you know, without some type of assistance from the federal government, we're going to be hard hit. So we hope it happens. But I think that the, you know, our lawmakers in Springfield need to start, you know, back of the napkin, at least, very preliminary, start looking at some, you know, major service reductions. Because if that federal money doesn't come through, that budget is not realistic at all and is so out of balance, and we're not going to be able to borrow $5 billion. It's just not realistic.
Well, one thing that is problematic around here, and I've talked to several people who are still having trouble, believe it or not, applying for unemployment. Now, they've been out of work basically since March 17th, and here we are, May 28th, and some of them are still having trouble getting that initial unemployment claim. Some people are actually calling for Governor Pritzker to be recalled because of the gross incompetence, as some people call it. Of course, websites do get overwhelmed when suddenly and without notice everybody is thrown out of work. But is this problematic in our Quincy economy? We're starting to reopen. Some people are going to go back to work, and they still haven't gotten any unemployment benefits.
Yeah, I think that the problematic thing is that you know, there has not been the resources available to individuals that are unemployed that needed to be, and many people can't get through either when they are online it crashes, or you know, they take phone calls and they're on for hours at a time. I know of one individual who actually received the card but was then unable to withdraw money from the card, and so you know, there's a lot of issues, and certainly it's not all on the governor, because you know, our unemployment system, we had record low unemployment, so you're not going to beef up, you're not going to have a staff you know, that is able to handle 30% unemployment when you only have 5% unemployment, and that's understandable. But I certainly think, as hard as the governor's been on President Trump for some of the federal response, that people can, you know, shine a light on this as a state response and say that it's not adequate. Now, there are some things that are beyond the governor's control, such as the training and the time it takes for individuals to get hired in the state and then get the federal training that they need to you know, work the unemployment system. But certainly you've seen states like Kentucky hire 1,000 people pretty quick. You know, I think more can be done, but I don't think you can 100% blame the governor on that. But certainly there does need to be a light shown on that, because we've seen it hit people, you know, especially those independent contractors who couldn't get unemployment, I think, until May. And then when they went back to file for it, they still received the same problems that folks had at the beginning of March or at the middle of March.
I bet we can both agree that Jeff Mays is very glad he's your administrative assistant, not director.
Well, he's still getting calls, so I'm hearing all about it.
I bet he is. He has no power to do anything about it, but still gets all the calls.
That's right.
Well, Mr. Mayor, what would you like to talk about? We've got about 7 minutes left. I've asked about every question I can think of to ask you. What's day-to-day life like being the mayor of Quincy during this time?
Sure. Well, I'll give you a little sneak peek, Mary, that my calls are either one, individuals who, don't understand why I'm infringing on their liberties, or the other, why we're not enforcing the face mask, giving people tickets for not wearing them, and why am I not keeping their children safe? So it's either one or the other. But what I can tell you that, majority of the people want us to reopen in a safe and responsible manner. And, I've been really proud of our community, save for a couple of large gatherings that happened at the beginning. We've not had any problems. We've not had any issues of people thumbing their nose at the governor. And I think that over the next phase, whether you're a bar or restaurant, retail store, whether you are opening a sports facility and opening yourself up to team practices, if we continue to act in a responsible way, we're going to be able to continue to move through these phases. And I think that's when we really shine bright as a community, when we agree to disagree with somebody, but that doesn't make us disagreeable, but we continue to make sure that we're representing our city and our county in a good way.
I certainly do not expect the Adams County Health Department or the City of Quincy Police to go around and enforce the face mask. But why do you think so few people, and it gets worse every day, I limit myself to one grocery store visit a week. I mean, I'm doing my best. I wear my mask. Oh, I have a designer one now that's got a Chicago Bears logo on it. I mean, I'm doing my best, and I look at other people. I'm kind of lukewarm about it. It's like, what would it hurt you? And then people bring all four of their children to the grocery store, and their little hands are everywhere. I don't expect this to really be able to enforce this, but should the stores be saying, wear a mask when you come in?
Well, I think one store should, and I think that eventually people are going to start essentially voting with their pocketbook, right? Where, if you go to one grocery store that's enforcing that and has the proper, social distancing being honored, you're going to feel more comfortable there, and you're going to frequent that location versus another one who's not, or a retail store. I'm not, singling out grocery stores. But, I think it's incumbent upon all of us to realize that, our shopping experiences are going to be a little bit different, but also we know that by wearing masks and by making sure that we're not on top of one another at the checkout line, that we ourselves are going to be healthier. So it's really about your neighbors, but also about your own health. And so my hope, and this is what I was really disappointed with the Restore Illinois plan, because Missouri was opening up so fast and not taking the proper precautions. If you'll recall, on our local plan, we were going to go into businesses and provide them, a week or two of training and really walk them through what reopening should look like in a safe and responsible way. And the way that the state's gone about it, by issuing guidelines on a Sunday to go into a next phase on a Friday, businesses just don't have the time to react. They don't have the resources to do that. And so I think more time needs to be given to businesses, more resources needs to be given to them. And at the end of the day, as consumers, we're going to vote with our pocketbook.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the cause? You promised that you would only serve 2 years, two terms as mayor, but then right here on the Mary Griffith Show a couple of months ago, you said, well, no one's really come forth to carry the banner. Are you in an active run for reelection?
No, not at this time, but certainly it's still something that we're looking at. And, I knew that you wanted to make news a couple months ago, Mary. So, that was my New Year's gift to you. But,
thank you.
Yes, I tell you what, I feel so very fortunate, to be mayor at this time. And I've seen the good work that, everybody's done in our community to make sure that we, respond to this pandemic in a way that makes our community proud, but also, has the eye on the ball that we need to be making sure that we come out of this stronger. And right now, that's the focus of my work. But certainly there'll be a time and a place to talk about campaigns, but it's not now.
Okay. Well, one thing about it is, who the heck would want to be mayor with all these problems? I mean, I wouldn't want to have to do the budget for next year. That's for darn sure. Thank you so much for your time, Mayor Moore, and thank you for your leadership during this pandemic. You have not been able to do what your constituents have wanted you to do in many cases, but I think people have to understand that we're in a strange situation. But I'm going to leave you with this one question. Do you think you have to obey the governor? I know you want to, and I know you're a good citizen, and you're not going to have anarchy. But literally speaking, do you really feel, as the mayor of Quincy, that you have to obey what Governor Pritzker says?
Yes. The reason why is a couple things. One, when we get sworn into office, we get sworn into not only abide by the Constitution, but the laws and the Constitution of the state of Illinois. We are a city because the state of Illinois gave us the power to be a city, but also if you talk to any county leadership or city leadership, if we do not abide by the governor's stay-at-home order or his laws, we essentially get dropped from our risk insurance. And as you know, for a municipality, that meant if somebody were to get sick in our community and we decided to reopen against the governor's order, we would be on the hook for a huge lawsuit. The liabilities would be endless. Also, I know that we have a great partnership right now with the state of Illinois with, you know, funding a next generation veterans home, working on a new memorial bridge, working on Highway 57, modernization. We work with them every day when it comes to our airport and our landfill and, our water system. And so we want to maintain that good relationship. And so it's not in our best interest to do that. And it also wouldn't be, while it may be politically popular at the time for a mayor to do that, it would be short-sighted, and it would be devastating for a community in the long run if an elected official did that.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mayor Kyle Moore.
Thank you.